I was up in Reading, and Bill was speaking this, and I had to kind of stop and just be like, wow. And when Bill, if you know Bill Johnson up in Reading, when he says something like this, I have to kind of just like file that under important documents in my heart. But he said this, he says, I'm convinced after all this time that there is nothing more powerful in the Christian walk than sharing testimonies. And I was like, what? Of all the things, Bill, you could say right now, the most powerful thing we can do as Christians is to share what God has done and is doing. Isn't that amazing? Those moments, I'm like, all right, we've got to stop. We've got to lean into this a little bit. It can't be something that we just let pass us by. And so I was just thinking about this, and honestly, we got a great, there was a great idea. Upper Room did a really cool thing a few weeks ago where they just passed the mic around and shared how Jesus had encountered people in their life. And, you know, we don't really do that, but I want to do it. I want to hear the testimonies. Every one of you has a testimony. If you want to turn to John 20, I'm going to give just a little bit of just a context to that we maybe we haven't heard the same way. I love it. In Psalms 119:88 says this. It says, revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of my youth. There's a power in keeping the testimony that's connected to being alive in God. How many of you guys know you get to create the culture that you live in? Did you know that? You ever heard of that idea behind being a thermometer or a thermostat? Where a thermometer reflects the room temperature and it tells you what the temperature is, right? Does that make sense? You guys with me? Say amen. Thank you. I need some feedback. I think I want to start just calling myself a Pentecostal preacher, and so I can just be like, amen! And then y'all say, amen. All right, beautiful. So you get to create the atmosphere. You're going to be a thermometer, and you get to go to the level of the people around you. Everybody say, boo. Listen, because some of y'all are in the thick of the enemy. You know, I think about Raji. He's in the acting world. Like, yo, there's some oppression in those areas. And so Raji, I'm going to use an example. Raji could be a thermometer in that environment, and he could kind of go down to that level and be like, let's see, they're going to be anti-God. I thought God was bigger. And, you know, he could let his mind go down to that level, or he could be like a thermostat, okay? You guys know what a thermostat does? You probably do. It's where you set the temperature to the room, where your wife says it's cold, honey. Can you turn the heat up? Okay? Amen. And so... So you turn the thermostat. You get to be the thermostat in your life. You get to create the culture that you live in. Amen. Amen. I could do what Bill does. He goes, that was much better than your reaction. No, I'm not trying to be here, but I just love the guy to death. Okay, so that's amazing. How do we create the culture that we are around? By talking about who God is in your life. I remember one time, Bill, he said, the fastest way to see angels show up around you is to begin to talk about what God's doing. And the fastest way to get rid of those angels is to talk about what he's not doing. And so testimonies remind us of who God is. It says this in Revelation, it says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of revelation. Well, actually, it says the spirit, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Thank you. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, meaning that the spirit realm that we live in, that the prophetic, the testimonies will prophesy about the realm that we want to live in. Does that make sense? The testimony of Jesus. What's the testimony of Jesus? It's whatever Jesus has done in your life. In John 20, there's a really neat place that I didn't really grab this until somebody else said it, so I'm just going to repeat it. We're just going to read a bit of scripture here, and then I'm going to just give you guys the mic in a little bit. But we're going to read about a little bit of backtrack here. It's kind of more of an Easter message. But there's a message when, so Jesus has died on the cross 3 days. He's resurrected, and these three women, the two Marys and the other woman's name, they come running, okay? Where is this? But John 20, verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. You guys remember this story? You guys tracking? And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said, she said to them, "Because," by the way, I just love that she just interacts with these two angels as if like, duh, where they've taken him. It's like there's no like falling. It's just wild. She's talking to these two angels. And she says this to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." She just starts talking to angels. When she had said, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, maybe that's who she thought the other two were, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And in that moment, you guys, in that moment, she heard Jesus speak to her and say, "Mary," as if, "Hello." And she turned to him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Say, "I have seen the Lord." "I've seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. It's like they just heard the Lord break into their life, right? Speak to them, speak her name. "Hello, Mary." She wakes up and realizes, this is the Lord in my life. And because of that, she races back and she tells everybody, "I have seen the Lord. He's not dead anymore. He's risen." And do you think in that moment, she's just remembering all the things that he has done in her life? Come on. See, she ran back and created a culture, didn't she? She ran back and there was a room. How many of you guys imagine what that room that she ran into was like? Depressing? Yeah, I think so. They're all like hiding out in the room. Like, gee, they killed Jesus. Are they coming for us next? Like, our king has died. Like, woe is us, right? Like, you remember the two on the road to Emmaus, which is right after this. I think it's right after this, where there are two of the disciples are walking, and they're all like, they're down. And Jesus, you know, just in disguise says, What are y'all all down for? It's like, what do you mean, why are we down? They just killed Jesus. So Mary walks into this room and starts to speak out who Jesus is, right? And changes everything. In fact, what it says is after that, a couple of disciples take off running, right? See, when we start to share the testimony, we begin to create an atmosphere around us in ourselves. You guys ever done that? You ever been down? You start remembering all the ways that Jesus hasn't let you down yet? Testimonies help us focus on what God is doing versus what he's not doing. So the difference is you sitting in your room thinking, "Oh, Lord, look at my bank account again. It's clear you are not working." Or you can sit in that chair and you can remember all the times you thought your bank account was truly done and the Lord came through. Listen, we can just use Raji again. Raji's been like, "Hey," like I remember the brotherly calls. He's like, "I don't know what he's doing, but he better do it quick." And then like a flood, he breaks in and just takes him into a whole new season, right? Come on. Okay, I need to get rid of this mic. All right. We are called to remember the places that God invades our situation. These are the foundations of our faith, the places that build trust in God. And that testimonies are our weapons. Say weapons. Testimonies, say it again. Say, testimonies are my weapons. Come on, you guys, we're going to get this. There are weapons when we feel something negative around us. We have immediate authority. Say authority. Say authority. They are our immediate authority when we remember that we have what we have witnessed or what we've heard. Joshua actually, the Lord told Joshua that you have authority over every place your foot goes. Why did he have authority? Because he remembered what God did in the desert. He remembered what God did in Egypt. He remembered again and again as they walked through the river. That was what he brought into the promised land. Amen? It was Moses, it was all the other people that were forgetting how great God was. And so they said, there's giants in the land, we can't go in there. And yet Joshua and Caleb, they were like, I remember what God's done in our lives. I say we go into the promised land and displace some giants. So we're going to do that today, okay? I want you to put that slide up for me, Brian, would you please? Now, I love the language that that Upper Room was using, so I just stole it. But it's, I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but he has risen from the dead. This is the foundation. If he hasn't risen, he's powerless to help you. But if you agree that Jesus died for your sins, for all the things that would keep you out of his presence, and he's risen from the dead to bring resurrection life to you in every situation, he said hello to me into my darkness, into my depression, into my brokenness, into my addictions. And I have seen him conquer it in my life. I have seen him bring me joy. I've seen him bring me purpose. I've seen him save my dad, my stepdad. I got to baptize my sister and her husband too, like last week. Like I have seen the Lord invade my family and change everything. And we're just waiting on my mom and my other sister and her husband. But I've got a testimony. Amen? And so here's what I want you to do. He's gonna play a little 12-string glory up here, because everybody knows a little background music is helpful, the anointing, and we're just gonna pass the mic around. Well, I'm gonna hold it. It's just better for you and for me. It's sometimes people, as soon as you get the mic in your hand, you want to preach a message, and that's just not the right time for 20, 30 messages. But I want to hear. What God's done for you, all right? And I don't want nobody. I pray by at least halfway through, if you're thinking to yourself, you know what? My story's not that fantastic. I pray that that is not what you think, because any little thing he did is magnificent. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you could. I mean, He did all of that for even the smallest pieces of breakthrough and the largest pieces of breakthrough. By the way, you can't get to big breakthrough until you get through small breakthrough. So let's celebrate the little stuff too. So here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and break out your phones right now, or a notepad, or a book, whatever. I think it'll help you a lot if you just wrote down a couple thoughts before the mic comes to you, okay? That way you can be like, oh, it is true, God, he's no longer is in the grave, but risen from the dead. He said, hello to me in my blank, and I have seen him do this. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to fill the air with testimonies. Can we do this? I've got nothing else planned, so if we don't want to do this, we can just go home. I truly want to leave room for the Lord. All right, let me pray for us, and then I'm just going to see who wants to go first. You guys okay? All right, this is going to be fun. Father, we love you, God. Lord, we worship you, God. We praise you tonight, God. Lord, teach us to remember all the times that you came through, God. Teach us to make us bold as lions, Father, as we remember who you are in us, God. This is a night where we give you all the glory for all the things that you have met us in, all the broken places, God. And I just pray for everyone here. I pray that, Lord, you would begin to remind people of the places, the times when they were ready to give up, Lord, but you came through, God. I pray that you would remind people of the places when they were sitting on the floor thinking, God, it's hopeless. I remember that time. And I remember, Lord, you met me, Father, as you've met everybody here, God. And so I just pray for each person here. Would you put a testimony on their mouth, if not for their own heart to hear it again, for the person next to them and in this room, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Who wants to start? Raise your hand. Marlon? All right, Marlon. Listen, I'm going to come to you. So you want to jump over here or whatever, or you can stay right here. I'm going to come to you so we don't have to all... We could have a line too. Do you guys want to make a line? I like the line idea better. Let's do this. So if you want to just come up next to him, you can. And when the line gets shorter, I might call on people. Okay, you know who you are. Okay.
So I wanted to share this testimony about family and just to encourage anybody who has family that isn't saved or family that's in the Lord. So I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but has risen from the dead. He said hello to me when I was at this worship night in OC years back, and I had fear and concern for my dad, who was in jail waiting to go to prison for 20 plus years. I would have to see and talk to my dad behind the glass, through a glass. And I barely knew the Lord at this time. And I remember I walked into this meeting and I said, Lord, I don't know what your will is, but if you can get my dad out of this situation, out of jail, and free, like, please. And if you don't, I love you anyways, but if you could do that for me so I can see my dad and have my dad in my life, I would be so grateful. I remember the next day or two, my dad called me, and he said, Marlon, you won't be able to believe this, but somebody, my cellmate, bailed me out of jail. I didn't even know that, like, I don't know him very well at all, but he bailed me out of jail, and actually God has been meeting me in jail. I've been reading the Bible, and literally a month later, as he's waiting, he still has to stand trial for what he did, and so this is his prison sentence. Three strikes are out when you're in probation, so this is, like, no chance to get off, no chance he's going to prison, and both judges said, we're going to give you probation. We're going to give you another chance. And my dad has been loving Jesus and has been free ever since.
I'm going to give you the mic because my arm's going to get way too tired. If I do this, put my hand on your shoulder, that's the tender pastoral sign that says, please get to the end so we can celebrate. Amen? All right, that's what that means.
Okay. I've seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but has risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my not understanding, I guess, confusion. I was barely born again, like maybe a few weeks. And this was in 1987. And I was a little confused because I was truly born again, but I was still living like I was before. And I'm going, what's up with this? So I literally sat in my dining room chair for 3 days. Meditating. I had heard something called the will of God. And I sat in a chair for 3 days wrestling with those words. And in the end of the 3 days, I understood that God had a plan for my life, that I had purpose, that the will of God was real, like he really had something specifically for me. And my life has never been the same. And today, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, exactly in this time, I'm exactly doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So,
say thank you, Jesus. Ah.
I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but is risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my wrong thinking. This is a fresh one, a fresh testimony. He unveiled how I was protecting things he didn't ask me to protect. And I have seen him restore relationship when I began to agree with him and see the consequences of protecting things he never asked me to protect. I have seen him free me from fear. I'm telling you, he has made me bold. All it took is agreeing with him and coming and moving away from guarding and protecting things he did not ask me to protect. And he has changed my life.
Come on, yes! Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. All right. I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but is risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my time of hopelessness with my custody battle with my son and not having any physical custodial time with him for 3 years and going to court over 8 times and not getting a judge to budge on it. And then I prayed for a new judge and I prayed for a counsel, legal counsel, my best interest at hand that I wouldn't have to pay for either. And I have seen him move on my behalf. The legal counsel I got was a lady through Veterans Legal that was helping me writing my paperwork prior to this, who got her past her bar and became my representative. And then the first day we sat before the new judge, because the old judge retired, he said, the judge is like, I have to disclose this information. I am a veteran, and I've worked for Veterans Legal before, so I just got to let you know if that's okay. Counsel, you feel like you can judge this all right. They said yes. And secondly, in the middle of this, she was about to move to Washington State. July of last year, 15 miles from the Canadian border, we had to go through a court service where they talked to us for 2 days, talked to the child, made the best plan for us. But a week prior to court, her fiance at the time came down from Washington State, and he said, I'm moving to California. and then the Sunday before court, I found out that not only were they moving, he was moving to California, but she was moving from LA County into Orange County, into Anaheim. So God moved her even closer to me. And then the best part, the day of court, they still read out what the court worker said would be the best option. And it said the best option would be for him to move to Washington State and me come to visit once a month. But that didn't happen. I spent Easter week with my son here in California. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Celeste, come on over.
I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but has risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my deception. I have seen him move in miraculous ways over my finances. Being a single mother, you want to be with your little one, but also work and provide. And it's just an interesting balance. And I was in my living room one day, negative $14. And I was like, okay, Lord, I know you told me to do that. I know you told me not to go there. But if I would have went there, and just like going through, why am I at negative 14? So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go to a Bible study, whatever. I have enough gas. So I walk into that Bible study, and I'm a little like not in a good mood because I'm in my deception. And I walk in, and this woman goes, I don't know why, but Lord wants me to give you this. Gives me $1,100. Doesn't even know that I had just been wrestling with God about my situation. So I went from negative 14 to 1,100. I'm a lender, not a borrower, in the name of Jesus, and the devil is a liar. One more. So then I go to the next day, I give this testimony, and I'm like, wow, God is amazing. And this man tells me, well, you can't depend on God to do stuff like that every day. Like, as I don't know, you know, like, I was like, oh. And you know, and so I just was like, I guess, like, I'll have to think about that. And so this is after I give that testimony, right? That's his response to my testimony. So I think Jesus got a little mad, because 2 days later, and I was driving home from that conversation thinking, like, but Lord, I think it was you, like, you told me, and then it was 1,100, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, like, God bless that guy. 2 days later, I get a call, and this woman, who also doesn't know my situation, was like, hey, I just want you to, like, tally up a few things that are pending for you. I'm just going to pray about it and see what I have to give you. Gives me $675. Like, I was like, okay, God, I hear you loud and clear. You do it all the time. You do it when you want to, and you provide for us according to your glory and riches.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Oh, thank
you. Woo!
Is this good? I like this.
I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he's no longer in the grave, but has risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my most recent trip to Egypt. It was during the month of Ramadan. And I landed in the airport, and I said, Lord, I need help. And he said, say, my help is from the Lord. So I started to say everything that I was hearing. I said, my help is from the Lord. And an Egyptian policeman comes to me, and he says, how can I help you? And I said, I don't know which way to go. He showed me which way to go. And in 10 minutes, I was outside the airport. And then I went back to the Lord. I said, what's next? He said, I will use you to comfort people the same way I comforted you. I said, okay. So I went to my mom's home. I waited, and then waited on the Lord. And then someone knocked at the door. I opened the door, and I didn't recognize the person. She was a helper to my mom like 30 years ago, and I used to be in Egypt. I invited her in. She said, I'm going through chemotherapy and radiation. And I said, okay. I held her hand and took her in the home, and I just went to tongues because I don't know what the Lord has. And I started praying in tongues for like half hour. And then the Lord spoke, and he said, tell her, I have rescued her from the grave. Tell her she's going to live and not die. So I hear and I say, and I hear and I say, and this was my trip, you know, to Egypt.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Crystal. The line was getting a little light.
Okay, so when I first got saved, I would go to, I've seen the risen Lord. It is true, he is no longer in the grave, but is risen from the dead. And he said hello to me in my depression. So I would go to these Better Life classes, and a gentleman in the back prayed over me, and I was learning how to get visions like Jesse had taught, praying in the spirit. And he said, I see chains falling off of you, and he doesn't know that I'm struggling with depression. I was suicidal for 10 years, knows nothing about this. And he says, I see the chains, they fell off and they're around your feet. He's like, that's as far as it went. I don't know what you do with the chains, but they're on your feet. That's all he said. So I said, okay, I came to church the next day here at Presence. And I'm like, Jesus, I don't know what you want me to do. What's going to happen to these chains? And I'm like, do I step out of them? Like, what do I do? And he's like, let me do it. And they turned into flowers, and then they exploded like pixie dust. And in that worship service, which I spent so many years weeping, like I wanted freedom, I saw Jesus defeat depression. And he showed me my past, and as I looked, it was this field of flowers being devoured by these awful-looking creatures. And he says, when they were running towards me, I got scared. And Jesus said, look again. They can no longer hurt you. We're going to look at your past and learn from it, but it will not hurt you. And today, this past week, after Tawny preached, I was like, okay, God, what more do you want me to release before I can move into my future? I've been working on my past, you guys, since I've been saved. And I said yes. I was prayed over. I said yes. And because I don't no longer have fear of depression, I was able to finally grieve the passing of my father, which was a long time ago, but I never dealt with it. But I kept saying, God, yes, I'm just going to let him go, because Tawny's mom said, you made your father God, but God wants to be your father. And I'm like, Lord, make that right. And today Christina spoke over me that she's like, I see you and you're in this field. And I know exactly what field she's talking about. It was years ago. And she says, and I see new green growing and I see flowers surrounding you. And I finally saw Jesus take me from staring at my past and looking at my future with all the hope that I've ever had in my life. And just everyone that's prayed joy over me, I see it's happening. Finally, there's a joy that I've never experienced that I'm going to have. So,
thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but has risen from the dead. He said hello to me so many times, but the time that I believe he wants me to share is when I moved to California from Connecticut. I'm not from Connecticut, but that's a story for another time. When I first moved to Connecticut, that was my first journey of like, all right, God, let's read the Bible front to back, King James Version. I got far enough, but it was the first time that I was like, oh, God, you're real. I'm having all these encounters with him. 4 years later, fast forwarding, he says, this year is important. It's significant. No idea what that means. Fast forward even more. He's like, let's move. Where? And then he's like, yeah, California, duh. So I've never moved like that before. Everything's usually been, you know, someone helping me. But this time, I'm doing it mostly by myself. And he helped me save about $1,800 through this one moving company by telling me in a dream, like, nope, use this one. So I did that. He showed me in a dream that I would be traveling with someone in the U-Haul, is what I ended up settling on. It was not my sister, which I thought it was. It was an angel. So I didn't know that until the days before I was leaving. So he helped me get a U-Haul for a quarter of the price. He helped me drive cross country by myself, and along that way he just showed me, and I have seen him show me his goodness, his grace, his kindness. There were people paying for meals for me. I got comped, or you know, they slashed the prices on certain hotel rooms. I again drove cross country by myself, U-Haul truck, packed up my life and said goodbye to, you know, the people I knew. And even coming into the border of California, just so much mercy and favor and grace. And they check your belongings when you're coming in. I freaked out because as I was opening the back of the U-Haul, I thought everything had shifted. And I had no plan of how to unpack everything. But I said out loud, oh no, I think everything moved. And the border person, I don't know what their title is, was like, it's okay, you can go. And I'm like, I guess I look that innocent. I am. But anyway, all that to say, from Connecticut to California, no accidents, everything's safe, just favor the whole way, and yeah, we can talk more if you want to.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh.
It's good to be back. Okay, I have seen the risen Lord. It's true that he is no longer in the grave, but has risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my accepting the will that he had for me. Yeah, in the fear of of saying yes to his path and fear of so many things. Fear of, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I grew up as a missionary kid in Taiwan and also in the States, but in Taiwan, I think that's where I developed a fear of like seeing in the spirit, because there's some trauma around that, and around the temples where I would walk, just in the city, I would just feel the presence of, I guess, things that weren't God, right? And I was always maybe wanting to go back, and I missed it, but I was scared of what it would be like, and that I was too small to fight like these big scary shadows, right? And but I have seen him restore my strength in his name, and basically activate like all the senses of being to hear from him and directing me on such a clear path of like ministry and missions in Taiwan. Yeah. And not only has he been my strength and that, but he's given me joy, and like so much joy in the worship of the Lord. That is my weapon and an anthem, like every time I'm there, and it's not just for me, it's for the other believers there too, and yeah, it's so good, and it's so fun, and I'm really excited.
Jesus, yeah.
I didn't rehearse this in my head yet, but I have seen the risen Lord. It is true. Ooh, I'm gonna cry. It is true that he is no. Lord, give me strength. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but he has risen from the dead. And he said hello to me in my doubt. And I moved here from Oregon almost 2 years now, and I remember I just came here pretty much by myself with no future in mind, and just running away from my past and from my family, and I was sitting in a church by myself, and the jokes, you know? I just was sitting there in so much fear of just that I did the wrong thing, even after like having confirmation on this move. And this mom invites me to sit with her, and we sit through the message, and she turns to me at the end, and she said, the message was, I can't quite remember what it was about, but she goes, this message was for you. And you needed to hear this. And gets into her purse, and she goes, when I was packing my stuff to come here to move my daughter from Washington, I had to pack this bracelet because the Lord told me to. No idea why. And I brought it all the way from Washington. And she pulls out this bracelet, and it says, Amazing Grace. And for those who don't know me, that's my name, just Grace. but you can call me Amazing. I feel my face getting red. but she just was, that's like the first time I ever heard someone just like prophesy over me. And I didn't come from like a background in that, and so just that the Lord like had this gift for me of confirmation, of telling me who I was, and just clothing me in that, literally, and just from this random woman. So he's always going to reassure you, and if you feel like you're not in the place, he will comfort you even there. And I'm just so glad that he did, because I would have moved back. And it's so evident that I need to be in California and here. So, yeah.
Come on, you guys are doing amazing.
I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to let the Spirit speak. I'm not rebelling. I'm just saying. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Carlos. It's my lovely family there. Our son just left. But at one point, I was going to lose my family. I was a drug addict. I was in and out of prison. I praise God for my wife because she, like, waited for me. And it's funny because, like, we would have dinners with other couples, and some of those, the women, like when she would step away to go to the restroom, the women were like, "Carlos, your wife really loves you." And I'm like, "I know." And they're like, "No, you don't understand. She like really loves you." Like, "Well, why do you say that?" And they're like, "Cause we tried to get it out of her. Like, did you really wait for him? Were you faithful for reals?" And she wouldn't budge. And I'm like, she tells me the same thing, and I don't have no reason to think otherwise, so praise God. But my point is, in that whole time that I was in and out of prison and doing drugs, she would always pray for me. We both knew the Lord, but obviously I wasn't walking in the Lord. She was. And she would always pray for me. She would even, like, I'd get home 1, 2, 3 in the morning, and she would be like, "Come here." And she, for the sake of not arguing, I would kneel, because she'd say, "Kneel." I'd kneel, and she'd, like, anoint me with oil. And she's like, "One of these days, I'm going to see, proclaim the word of God." You know, yeah, and for the sake of not arguing, I'm like, "Sure you are." Like, you know, because, I mean, I was high, so I was like, "Yeah, sure you are. Yeah, okay." But I praise God for her, because, like, you know, years later, I haven't touched the prison in like 14, 15 years by the grace of God. He restored my family. You know, he restored our marriage, you know, because she was going to call it quits, you know. I didn't blame her. Like, who wants to live like that, right? You're not living. You're just existing when it comes to that. So I just thank God for that. And I do have a scripture. I'm not going to preach. But I just have a scripture that goes with like this. And it's in Job. It's in Job 42, verse 5. It just that. It says, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you." You know, and that's what I want to leave you guys with. That, you know, God is so great. He's so beautiful. He's so awesome. You know, he doesn't give up on us. You know, he doesn't relent. He just loves us. And, you know, how can we not serve him? Like, for me not to serve him after all that, it would be like blasphemy to me. Like, it just, you can't do that.
Come on. Aha. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, it is true that he is no longer in the grave, but has risen from the dead. He said hello to me in the midst of the brokenness in my marriage, where the pain had built walls of justification and solidified me in my own rights. He showed me that if I would trust him and follow him one step at a time, by letting go of my rights, which is what I deserve, what I think I deserve, and choosing to see my husband the way God sees him,
instead of through the filter of pain. I have seen him help me die to myself and see rightly. And he has unlocked the door to my marriage and my husband, and I'm now walking in the fruit of the restoration of my marriage.
Come on, thank you, Jesus.
Okay, I'll only be half an hour or so. Okay. I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but is risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my fear. 20 years ago, I had fear so bad, not anything particular to be afraid of, but my stomach would just churn. I'd be driving down the road and I'd hear this little voice like, "You're driving too fast. You're driving too slow. That car's gonna run at you." And I'd just have this anxiety. And I said to God, "There's nothing I want more in the whole world than to have peace of mind." I'd never known what that was like. I was afraid of people from when I was little because of what they thought of me. I could never do anything like this. And in a Presbyterian church that I went to, a pastor there and a friend of mine prayed a prayer of deliverance over me. It took about an hour. And took me back to a memory of just in school and the kids were laughing at me. I saw Jesus there and he came and he hugged me and the teacher said he was sorry and the kids were friends again. And it seemed a little thing. But then suddenly the pastor said, "What do you hear now?" I said, "Nothing." I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And he goes, "We're done." I went home that night and my husband was away on business. And I remember sitting in the chair and like my toes were curling up because I'm like, "Oh my gosh, like it's quiet, like I'm free." I'm like, if you could have offered me millions of dollars, I would have rather had peace. And I just realized, sat in the chair now, thinking about what to say, what would have happened when I got cancer in 2017 if he hadn't already freed me from fear? Like that would have, I couldn't even imagine. And in 2017, he gave me the gift of faith. And I knew that I was going to come through it, and I did. And then when it came back last year, I didn't have fear, but I didn't know if I was going to live or not. But if not, then I was going to be with Jesus. But he sent people from this church to pray for me. The whole church prayed for me. People came to my home. Faithful friends prayed for me. And I felt so supported. And I had moments of fear, but it didn't last very long because of the Lord. I've seen the Lord, and I've seen him through his people, and I've seen the love, and I know him as my strength and my peace.
Come on! We probably have room for at least two more. Get up here, Raji.
Oh, he wants me to act it out as I do it. Oh, my. I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but has risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my isolation. As Jesse has told you, I'm an actor. A lot of you already know that. but right now I'm on the national tour of a Broadway play, and I walk into a lot of these environments thinking that I am alone, I have to do this alone, I'm the only person there who loves the Lord, and I put all of this pressure on myself to be the soul light, which never goes well. It doesn't go well at all. And we were in previews. We're in the middle of the tour now. We're on a break, which is why I'm home. But we were in previews in San Jose, and I was in the lobby just licking my wounds and feeling sorry for myself and choosing total victimization. and I saw our musical supervisor walking through the lobby. And he's a 60-something-year-old British man. And... was that, oh, yeah, of course. Got it. And I, as clear as day, felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, Raji, he loves me too. And then I went, oh. Of course, I didn't do anything about it. I didn't go up to him. I didn't say hello. And the next day was Easter, and I spent Easter alone in my hotel room watching a service online instead of out fellowshipping with the members of our family. And the next day, Monday, when I went back into work, I was standing next to him in the auditorium. And I said, what'd you get up to yesterday? And he said, oh, I went to this amazing church. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, and the worship was fantastic. And I was like, hey, wait, what? And he said, yeah, is church your thing? And I said, yes, church is my thing. And he said, great, come with me next Sunday. And there I was the next Sunday in church with a brother, you know? So, thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Hello. I wrote stuff down. I don't even really... I was trying to process my story, but with the pressure of coming up here, I was like, just the pressure of being here. I didn't know if I could even think of anything. I'm going to, they told me to come up here, so here I am. This is good. So I have seen the risen Lord. It is true that he is no longer in the grave, but is risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my hopelessness, and believing I needed to be better to earn his love. And I think both of those things had lasted for years for me. Like, maybe even like sub or like little parts of my entire life. Probably just like there. And honestly, I think I'm probably still in the process of it, but I feel like I've seen him. let's see, I was trying to, like, what happened exactly? I was trying to remember what happened exactly, because my heart has just felt so different the past months. And there was at least two thoughts that happened. I started, like, being taught that I couldn't do anything. There wasn't anything I could do to earn his love. There wasn't anything I could do to actually save myself, because that's what I was trying to earn, like confidence that he actually, or that I was saved. But like, teaching that I couldn't do anything to earn it. That he had already done everything, and then I just, like, okay, I can just let that go. I can just, like, relieve myself of that. I can't do it. I can't do it. So thank you, Jesus. And then with that, like, surrendering in my heart, just different areas that I was just holding on to out of fear, things that I've been hopeless about for years, just feeling like, oh, actually changing my mind, like knowing, like, God, you are everything that I want, and I just want to give you my entire heart. Is there anything that I'm holding back? And just going to him, and just all that to say, I feel so much more peace. Just so much more peace, and just giving him everything as it comes to my mind, just like, that's my desire. So thank you, Jesus.
Well done. Well done. I can come to you. Would anybody feel better if I went to you? Are we done? There we go.
I have no idea exactly what I'm going to say, but I'll say something. So I have seen the risen Lord. It is true, he is no longer in the grave, but has risen from the dead. He said hello to me in my challenges, in my weakness, in the darkness that surrounded me. And I have seen him. He speaks to me. And a few months ago, I wouldn't have said that. But it's evident throughout my life. And when I was born, my mom was 41 when she had me. Back then, that's not something that happens. She was told to abort me, and she didn't. Both my parents, they loved me, they wanted me, and it was a blessing, but she wouldn't be scared by the doctors. And every day, she would babysit kids, so every day she would read the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. So by the time I was three, I knew them by heart. And when I was confirmed in the church that I had belonged in, they got a certificate in the mail, and the verse on the certificate was Psalm 23, verse 1. And when my mom passed away, the Lord gave me, and so I believe it's Psalm 27, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And just at the right moments, God drops those verses in my life. when I think, oh my gosh, I don't know, Lord, you know, all of a sudden I see a message or somebody says it to me, or I read it or something like that. And it's not even just that, but that, you know, if in friendship and in everything, like he has a way of speaking to everybody, whether it's a Bible verse or whether it's the words that you need to hear. I was studying the word, and then all of a sudden, and I still study the word, not to say that, but all of a sudden I hadn't been doing any devotionals for a while, and all of a sudden God's like, you need to start reading the devotionals. So the day that I started reading the devotional is when they started speaking on the Holy Spirit. And I've been going through some things recently, and it just talked about the Holy Spirit and how God would breathe on people and the breath of God. And then today in service, we sing about the breath of God, you know, and how we breathe in God. Like, every part of us is Jesus, you know. Every breath that we breathe, you know, all of creation, like everything we touch is a reflection of our Savior. And just how comforting that is. And so, yeah. So thank you, Jesus.
Yes, come on. Woo! Good job. Up to me later and say, hey, can I have the mic again? Can you lead us in a song, you and Val, or yeah? Yes, no? Yes, please. Why don't you stand? Let's worship him. You guys, this is, we share testimonies, but by the way, if any of this connected with your heart, like fear, darkness, lack, not enough, in and out of prison, like Carlos, your wife almost leaving, any of that. Just know the Lord is no respecter of people. Meaning what he did for another, he'll absolutely do for you. And so, you know, I was thinking of Celeste's, you know, the generosity of God. He's not going to do that every day. Well, he might. He might. I love that. But let's just sing one more worship, and then about, we'll have the prayer team come on up just shortly after, and then we'll just let you go, grab your kids. Yeah, it's good. Amen.
You give light, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore it. give I, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every